This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
John Heyman, insider for MLB Network.
Chicago is watching carefully, no question about it.
New York Post columnist, curb your enthusiasm, enthusiast.
You hate people. Well, I hate people individually, but I love mankind.
John Heyman with Mully and Haw.
I'm going to endorse the point where I say you never know with the Cubs, but I'm going to retract the I like the White Sox.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's opening day. Who better to talk to than our dear friend John Heyman of the New York Post, MLB Network. He is in Houston with Cam Smith. And he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. John, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I like that. I'm not literally with Cam Smith at the moment. It's 7 a.m., but later. I'll
well, but John, it's a fair question. Bigger story, Cam Smith or Juan Soto?
Well, one's $765 million. The other is about $765,000. So, you know, I'm all about money. So yeah.
Follow the money. That's the measure of a true journalist. Okay, so it's the opening day. We keep calling it the domestic opening day because of the series in Japan. But this is it. Finally, the baseball season begins in earnest, and everybody excited. Let's start with your picks, John. Who's winning the World Series? Who did you like when you finally sat down and started measuring it up?
Well, you know, I go with the same team every year. I'm very boring, and I can't really go away from the Dodgers this year, can I? I mean, they have an all-time great team. So, you know, I went with the Dodgers over the Red Sox this year. American League is really, really wide open. It is, I mean, to be frank, rather weak. I would say the best six teams are in the National League. And the National League is good beyond six teams. I think there are probably 10 or 11 good teams in the National League. It's weird. I think some of it has to do with the free agent migration. Others, probably injuries is a factor. But National League, far better, and they have the best team, at least on paper, that I can ever remember.
So let's stay in the National League, John, because the Cubs want to be – one of those six teams. They want to be back in the playoffs. I feel like the tone on the north side with Jed Hoyer entering the final year of his deal with Kyle Tucker, maybe a one-year rental, there's a playoffs or bust feeling and vibe to this season for the Cubs. Do you agree?
Absolutely right. Kyle Tucker is a rental 1 year. We knew they weren't going to sign him. They knew they weren't going to sign him yet, maybe after the year, but he's a rental. Jed Hoyer, you're right, last year of his deal. They are the favorites in that division. I think they're going to win that division, but it's pretty wide open. I mean, the Reds with Terry Francona now, they're a threat. The Brewers are always a threat. Pirates have schemes. So it's not a given. I mean, the Cubs are a good team, but they can be beaten, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I was saying to David, we keep looking at it thinking that the Cubs have, you know, the great manager. They've got a lot of players that are going to be coming up and it's starting. And then you look at the rest of the division and who's made big moves, right? In fact, everybody, you know, the Brewers certainly took a step back. The problem is, I was telling him, I'm reading all this Red stuff yesterday, and I'm kind of like, how come I haven't looked at them and thought about their development as a young team getting better?
Right. I mean, they're a complete wild card, no pun intended. I mean, they could be great or they could be terrible. I don't think they'll be terrible, really, because they have Francona. I thought that was a very impactful move. He laid down the law right away. He demoted some guys who were kind of getting away with some stuff in the previous regime. And, you know, there's accountability now with the Reds, but they are very, very young. So, I mean, I think it's going to be a bit of a surprise if they do win that division. I see they seem to be a popular pick. I do favor the Cubs. I do think the Cubs are a little bit more solid team. Their pitching is more solid. You know, Tucker was a nice add. I think their defense overall is very good. I think Pete Crow Armstrong is rising. I don't know if he's ready to be an all-star, but he's getting better. I think the team is understandably the favorite in that. The Reds are a popular pick, but I don't quite see it at this point for them.
It's much too early to be wondering about trades, but I feel like during the spring training phase, Dylan Cease's that speculation surrounding him was as high as any player maybe in baseball because of what he could mean to a staff like the Yankees or wherever he may go. The Cubs were even linked at one point in time. Is that the first big domino to fall, the guy to keep an eye on the most, John, throughout baseball? Because his name has been linked to trade rumors for several months now.
Yeah, I think so. The Padres clearly did not want to trade him, at least the baseball ops people didn't. The ownership there is kind of in flux right now, and it's kind of putting it kindly. And, you know, they're a team that is a good team, but now with Darvish out, you know, there's questions in their rotation and in that division. It's going to be tough. So I would say when we get close to the deadline, that's one of the names that could be out there, providing that the Padres are not contending, which is very possible in the National League. I know they've got Merrill, Machado, Tatis, they've got some great players, but, you know, I mean, the Dodgers are going to win that division. I don't often say that on opening day, but I don't see any way around that. Diamondbacks look better than the Padres on paper, and so I think that's a possibility. I would say that's the most likely guy to go at the deadline at this point.
So we know how great the Dodgers are going to be. We understand the payroll issues, all the rest of it that they've put together. A team of superstars. They have depth. It's just extraordinary. They seem like they're injury proof, if that's a thing. Who's next? I mean, you know, you mentioned six teams in the NL. Are you a Atlanta guy, Philadelphia guy? Who would be next? The Mets? Who is it?
Well, I think the NL East is probably flip a three-way coin. You could pick any of those teams doing it. I mean, by the end, I think the pitching of the Phillies looked outstanding. Christopher Sanchez looks like a potential Cy Young winner, and combine him with Nolan Wheeler, so I can certainly see the Phillies winning that. I mean, I think the Diamondbacks are probably the second-best team in that league. Now, they're not going to win the division, but you add Burns to Gallen and all the other pitchers they have. It's a pretty formidable team in their offense, at least produced, you know, in the top two in baseball last year. So I kind of like the Diamondbacks as the second best team, but I'm going to say the Cubs win the Central, and I think all three teams in the East make the playoffs, and they all win around 90 games, but they all make the playoffs.
You know, John, Mully's right. The Dodgers do look injury-proof, but are they illness-proof? Mookie Betts,
that's so weird.
It's such a strange illness. Now he's down to under 160 pounds. You wonder what his fitness level will be when he starts to recover. Where does he stand, and how big of a loss might that be, even to a team as good and deep as the Dodgers?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Mookie Betts is one of the top five players in the game. Just an amazing guy. Can play center, can play right, can play short, and just a great, great hitter with shocking power for a guy who normally weighs 180 pounds. You're right, he was down to 150-something. I think he's improving, though. I think he's getting better. I'm not a doctor. I'm just following it along like everybody else. And it sounds like he's getting better, and we're hopeful that he'll be okay. They are pretty much injury-proof. They do have injuries. Last year, their rotation was decimated, and that was a shell of itself, and they still won the World Series in five games, and now they've added Sasaki and Snell. Kershaw looked great, at least on the sideline in spring training. To add Kirby Yates as a middle reliever, I mean, they've got five guys who can close there, counting a couple who are right now on the injured list, including your old friend Kopech, who's now a star. Everybody who goes there becomes a star. I will give the White Sox this. They did not trade Garrett Crochet to the Dodgers a year ago when the Dodgers were offering Gavin Lux and River Ryan. That would have been a disaster. They did much better with Teal Montgomery. So give the White Sox credit. They made a nice trade with Crochet. You know, obviously it's not going to be their year this year, probably even next year, but it's a good sign that they stopped trading with the Dodgers.
I pick Crochet to win the Cy Young.
Yeah. Could be. I mean, an incredible talent, amazing arm. I saw MLB Network had him ranked one person sixth, one eighth in baseball, which, obviously you can't rank him with Derek Skubal or Wheeler or probably even Skeens at this point. But in terms of the arm, the talent, certainly a top 10 pitcher in baseball. But, hey, look, the White Sox did well making that trade, waiting on it. And I think Teal's going to be a good player. Montgomery's got a chance. So give them credit for that, at least, I guess.
John, let's zoom out for a second, because I think when you look around Major League Baseball today, opening day, and you see two teams opening their seasons, playing home games in minor league parks with the Rays in Tampa, and you have the A's in Sacramento. And for different reasons, I'm not sure how alike or similar or different they are, but is there a lesson to be learned for teams that might be searching for new stadiums or ballparks? And is there any takeaway from these two teams to learn lessons that maybe they should have known going in?
Yeah, I mean, the Rays have just blown it. You got to face it. They've had four chances to figure out the stadium. Both Pinellas and Hillsborough County and Tampa Bay area have given them opportunities and made deals with them. The Rays have backed out of the deals. They were eligible to back out of the deals. I mean, the hurricane opened things up there and changed a few things, and they just could not get a deal done. They did not ingratiate themselves with the politicos down there, but still they wanted the team to stay. They've done a good job on the field, considering they don't spend anything. It's amazing the number of games they're able to win without spending almost anything. But in terms of getting that stadium done, they have not been able to do it, and I probably for the time for that team to sell. Oakland, I felt like, they kind of tore the team down when they were there and, kind of forced this trade. So I don't like it, but MLB is giving them a pass and saying, change in politics out there prevented a new stadium, and this is the best solution. And, I don't know. I think ownership was a problem in both places, and it certainly continues to be in Tampa, and they're probably going to have to figure out a new owner because the MLB wants to stay in Tampa. They do not want to move. I don't know. Maybe I don't know whether the owner in Tampa, Stu Sternberg, wants to move. It's unclear what he wants to do because he keeps changing his mind and changing deals. And I don't know. But the best thing is for them to do is to sell the team now and keep the team in Tampa.
What an absolute oddity that there are two major league ball clubs playing in minor league parks. It's like crazy.
Bad look.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's happened before where it's one, but not two. No. It's pretty ugly, and you know, in Tampa, it's a nice community and all that, but they're gonna have a rain delay in probably 2/3 of the games in Tampa. They're changing all the timing of the games and all these things, but it rains there almost every night during the summer, so it's not gonna be. They fixed it up beautifully. The Yankees have, I don't know if it was out of their generosity or what, they did get a little bit of money for it, and they did fix up their own spring training facility nicely. They got some positives, but I mean, George Steinbrenner never will let the Rays, I don't think, play games at his field, the George M. Steinbrenner Field. But you know, I guess good for Hal that it's the best thing for baseball that that's where they're going. I mean, it's certainly better than playing in Dunedin or one of the other parks down there. It also rains in Dunedin, obviously, and that park is not the same. This is a nicer facility, so give the Yankees, you know, at least a speck of credit for allowing this. But yeah, it's not great that they're in a park for 10,000 people. The good news is they only draw 18,000 on average anyway. It's not the Dodgers having to cram into a 10,000 seat park where you have 50,000 fans coming every day. This is the number of fans that they do have in Tampa.
Well,
you know,
here in Chicago, that will be the backdrop to the White Sox season, obviously, with rumors and reports about the ballpark in the South Loop and Justin Ishbia's involvement and interest, all those things, John. But any glimmer of hope on the field revolves around, or seems to, Will Venable, the new manager, bright guy, made a good, strong impression in spring training. And yet, I don't think that reasonable people look at the Sox season and think that they can avoid a 100-loss season.
John, they might be worse on paper because they don't have any pitching.
Argue that they're worse opening day this year than they were last year at this time on paper. But what do you expect from the White Sox?
Yeah, I mean, they look worse on paper, but could they possibly be worse on the field? I mean, I think it would be impossible, right? Yeah. They were the worst team of all time last year, basically, arguably the worst. So I don't think that's possible. It's nice that they have a manager who seems to be, have the potential to be a very good manager. But, I mean, let's face it. I mean, Bruce Bochy, Miller Huggins, whoever you want to call him, I'm dating myself with that. Joe McCarthy, whoever, Francona, nobody could turn this team into even a 70-win team. It would be impossible. So you can't really have any expectations here in terms of the number of wins. I will say, beyond the manager, they do have some prospects. I mean, they're no longer near the bottom on the prospect list, and I think it's fair now. You've got Schultz, potentially. He's got the potential. Now, he has never gone long in any games, right. So no given here. But he's got potential. You got Hagen Smith, potentially a good player. They acquired Keel, should be a very good catcher long term for the team from the Red Sox in that Crochet deal. You still got Robert, who is another good trade candidate, but he's going to have to prove it at least over a half a season. He was terrible last year, frankly. And so, I mean, they have some good young players and prospects, I should say. And, you know, look into the future. It'll be brighter than it is now. How bright, I can't predict.
I find it interesting that you got the Mets in Houston, because I think both those teams have a pretty compelling story. You know, it feels like Houston's kind of rebuilding. They started the season 7-19, something like that, and they went on to win the division. And I saw Pecota has them like within two games. There's three teams there that they all have close to the top of the division. And then you look at, obviously the Mets. Is Soto worth the money? Does he turn everything in their favor?
Yeah, is anybody. I mean, $765 million. Let's remember that Ohtani got a deal that's worth basically $465 million. So $300 million less for a guy who brings in hundreds of millions of dollars in sponsorship. We're talking about a guy who pays for himself. This contract is way out there, but, you know, the Yankees, who had him for a year, believed he was worth about that. They'd offered $760 million. Maybe they weren't going to give that signing bonus, the luxury suite. There were a few differences, but there were at least two teams that were willing to pay in that range, and I think two others that were in the $700 million range. So, you know, I think the superstars have this huge value to teams in terms of the cachet and selling tickets and whatever. I mean, Ohtani's on a different level, But in that next group, you've got Soto, Judge, and Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who the Jays absolutely have to sign. But as far as the Mets go, that lineup looks great. They're missing their second baseman, their catcher, who are out. Injuries are decimating teams all over as we start. But the lineup looks fantastic. Soto is an all-time great hitter. I do believe that. Is he worth $765 million? You know, I don't know. I'm not an economist, but two teams thought so. So,
John, in the final minute we have, how surprised are you that Luis Robert Jr. is still on the White Sox, and what kind of market could you see developing for him if he stays healthy?
Not surprised at all. I mean, you know, he had a terrible year last year. You sell a stock when it goes down to two. You know, I mean, he couldn't do that. They weren't going to get any decent offer for a guy. And that contract was looked at as such a bargain, but now that $20 million a year off of the year that he had last year, it's hard for a team to justify giving up any really good prospect. And teams don't like to trade prospects anyway. So he's going to have to put together a half year. I know he had a year in the past where he had 38 home runs. He's been Gold Glove caliber in the past. If he can do that for half a year, he will be worth a lot more than that contract, and they will be able to get a great prospect for him. But not surprised at all. I did not expect them to trade him.
John, you're the best. Thank you, buddy. A lot of fun. Perfect
guest.
All right,
happy opening day. Great
yes.
talking to you guys.
Enjoy it, John. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
That's the guy to talk to on opening day.
Oh, you got to love it. Yeah, great perfect. Insight. Down watching Cam Smith against Juan Soto. That's the matchup.
I love that you started with that question. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
I feel great. I'm excited. I've got... opening day is a very special thing. It's kind of funny. The Cubs feel like we have four opening days this year between Japan, Arizona, Sacramento's opening day, our opening day. It's so much goes on just before we get back to Wrigley. It's a unique setup, but a lot of cool stuff along the way.
That's Nico Horner, Mully and Haw on the Score. He's talking about all the multiple opening days. You got the Japan opening day.
That's
you
one.
Got opening day tonight.
That's two.
In Arizona, you got opening minor league baseball game, and then you got the home opener.
That's four. He's right. It's a lot of pomp and circumstance, a lot of pageantry accompanying this season. You know why? There's a lot of urgency. You know what Jed Hoyer's calendar says? It's winning time.
Well, it better be.
It's winning time.
Yeah.
And he feels it. And his Q&A with John Greenberg in The Athletic was very enlightening, and I feel like it was one of those things that underscores just what the expectations are. And Jed says this to John Greenberg. I feel like for us, we don't have a lot of margin for error. We need guys to improve. We need to stay healthy. We need to play clean baseball. I think that the way this team is built, we have a really good defensive team. We should run the bases well. We need to do all those things really well. We don't have the ability to sort of muddle through and just show up and make the postseason. We have to have a really good season to do that. He knows that this...
Do you feel like they muddled through last year? Because that is part of the implication of what
they muddled through 2 months, and they were a bad baseball team for those two months. They started strong last year. I think we talked about the Craig Counsell effect early, and maybe too often. 17-13, I think, in the first 30 games, and we thought, okay, Craig Tober, here we come. And they, for whatever reason, stopped hitting. And then they couldn't get the final three outs. Bad bullpen, untimely hitting, and it conspired to ruin the Cubs' season. So, yeah, they did muddle their way to too much of last season, and they were too inconsistent and spotty. What you want this year is to be the same team in April that you are in May, and every month continue to be consistent and continue to improve.
Are they winning today, tonight?
I don't have a good feeling about tonight. Not going to lie.
Yeah.
I don't.
It's a bad pitching matchup.
Zach Gallen. You heard John Heyman?
Yeah.
The Diamondbacks, in his mind, are the second best team in the division. Did he say the second best team in the National League, I believe?
National League.
Yeah.
They're
loaded. And they scored more runs than any team in baseball last year. They added Corbin Burns to their rotation.
They got good pitching.
They're not even going to see the Cubs.
Right.
He's going to pitch, I think, the fifth game. So they're going to skip him. Zach Gallen is not easy.
No.
And I don't have a great feeling about tonight for the Cubs. And I fear that tomorrow we're going to come in here. The Cubs will be staring at 0-3, and I'm wanting to change the subject.
I mean, that is the subject if they open 0-3. They got to win a game.
How about those Dukies?
Yeah, there you go. That'd be great.
That'd be great. I just, Jed understands the stakes.
Yeah, he does.
He's entering the final year of his contract.
That's right.
You've got Kyle Tucker for 1 year. You've got.
Why do you let a guy get to the final year of his contract?
In which case? In Tucker or Hoyer?
In terms of, well, Tucker and Hoyer are completely different.
Completely different.
I think Tucker wants to go to the last year of his contract.
Yes.
I think Hoyer would prefer to have gotten an extension.
Well, the reason Jed Hoyer hasn't gotten the extension, in my view, and I think it's accepted, they haven't been to the playoffs. It's been a long time since there's been postseason baseball at Wrigley Field.
They've been to the rebuild stage of the program. You know, he went through something that Theo didn't have a stomach for, which was tearing the team apart.
Gave him credit for that.
And that's a tough thing to do.
Because you replenished your farm system. They got a lot for the pieces they unloaded, and it was difficult emotionally to part with Baez, Bryant, and Rizzo. It really was. And, you know, we all went through that and understand that. The problem came 2 years ago when they choked in September.
Rizzo still out of baseball? Doesn't have a team right now.
That's surprising, isn't it? Yeah. It's very surprising.
What was that look, Dustin? That was a sideways.
I'm shocked, actually.
That was bitter beer face.
I thought for sure. It sounded like he was like basically 1 foot in the door with the Pirates.
It did seem like that.
Right? I mean, I thought it was almost like inevitable.
Don't know if he's healthy.
Is it the back, right?
Not quite sure.
Medical thing. He had an X-ray and
money.
Might be.
I don't know that he's playing for money. I think he's playing because he wants to play.
I don't know that they would give him any money. I mean, should he come back on a veteran minimum or something?
I think that
get him at Marquee. Get him here at the Score as a weekly contributor. Then,
in what way?
Is it a contributor to
for Marquee Sports Network?
Right. Yeah.
Get him on a broadcast. Have him come on here and
you
talk
think he'd
to
be
us.
Good at that?
I do. I think he would be good at that.
Okay.
I do. Do you? You seem hesitant.
He has a lot of gravitas because of what he achieved with the Cubs.
He does. There's no doubt he's got gravitas.
There's not a Cub fan.
I don't know how willing he would be to do. On. I don't know how willing of a participant he would be.
I think it still stings.
What his interest?
I think
would
it
be.
Still stings.
Yeah,
the departure from here.
More than likely, there's a little bit of that. He's done great things for the city of Chicago and in the community and all the things with Lurie Children's Hospital. No doubt about it. I just think he's got baseball left in him.
Right.
The Yankees went from wanting to bring him back in the postseason where he could make an impact and he was injured and they played him anyway to discarding him and moving on. And now he's out of baseball. So we don't want to get too far afield. But I think it's difficult for.
It's difficult to make that transition.
It is.
It's difficult to understand your career is over. And then it's difficult to understand. Now you're going to talk about what you did in your career.
I don't think he's ready for that yet.
You're probably right.
I don't think he's ready for that yet.
You're
so,
probably right.
Back to the Cubs. After the unloading, you know, Jed felt like put a team together 2 years ago in 2023 that was ready to play playoff baseball again.
Yep.
Didn't get there. So then you make the surprise stealth move of getting Craig Counsell. And we thought last year, the guy that did more with less is going to do more with more.
Yes.
They're going to get to the playoffs. And then what happened? 83 victories again. They were stagnant. You can't be stagnant because they're not going to fire Craig Counsell. He's got the deal and all the money. It's time to win. And the thing about Jed Hoyer's comment to John Greenberg, which is interesting, is that he's talking about a team that is they don't have the ability to muddle through it and show up and make the postseason. What you ideally want as an executive, just saying, a team that is good enough
to muddle through
and win based on talent alone.
But don't you think the Cubs did that after the championship? They seemed to lack something, but they muddled through and they made the playoffs and they were in contention.
Because they had talent, they had depth, they had a roster that was complete.
And I think what's really interesting to me is that you look at them versus Houston. And they were both kind of in the same they were both in the same circumstance, only Houston took off and kept winning. And even won last year. And now the Cubs are trading for these players from Houston. hoping to capture some of that magic.
Yes, I think that they are trying to do that, and that is to be applauded. And everybody celebrated the arrival of Kyle Tucker when that trade was made earlier this offseason. But it bears repeating because as we begin this season, or the reopening day for the Cubs, they never replaced Cody Bellinger.
Yeah, they didn't.
They never, and if you want to say they replaced Kyle Tucker or Cody Bellinger with Kyle Tucker,
right,
fine. But then that kind of diminishes the addition of a guy.
That's right.
Then to
maybe
your team.
They didn't add enough.
They didn't add enough.
They changed their bullpen quite a bit. Like if they could somehow capture magic in the bullpen, then they're going to have a hell of a year.
They will, but I think when you have
I'm
the Cubs
sure about it.
Capacity to get players in and have a payroll that, you know, is reflective of a team that makes $3.5 million per home game,
see,
and is worth what they're worth
they
based on Forbes
the
says they're worth $4.6 billion. I'm sorry, those are the kinds of markers that you look at and you think that they shouldn't be talking about a team. The team president shouldn't be talking about a team that has to work the margins to win games. You want to be good enough that you are slump proof. But I don't know that they are. So you heard John Heyman talk about the Diamondbacks being the second best team in the National League. That should be the Cubs.
Yeah.
Or that should be the, you know, if it's Dodgers, Mets, then you want to be in that conversation. And I don't think they are right now.
Are they one player away from being in that conversation, one hitter away?
They're a big bat away from being in that conversation, okay. Yes. Nobody's going to catch the Dodgers. I think that gap is pretty wide.
No,
but we had a question after the Japanese series about which is wider, the gap between the Cubs and the Dodgers or the Cubs and the rest of their division. And it's an interesting comparison. But I think what you're saying, and I think I agree, if you add one slugger to that lineup, you feel much better about their ability to get through these rough spots and to avoid these lulls and to be able to muddle through and win the division.
Yes, that's right. That is you are so right. That is the team that you want to create, one that is good enough that if you had to muddle through it, you'd still be in the playoffs.
Oh, we got a couple guys having bad weeks or bad months. Okay, that's fine because we have other guys picking them up.
Yes.
Because we have such length in our lineup that we don't have to worry if 3 and 4 aren't hitting yet because 6 and 7 are.
Yeah, they're carrying the team.
I just don't know because of when your lineup.
No, you don't have that right now.
Because you have four guys again, Matt Shaw, PCA, the catching position, and Michael Bush. If you can tell me that those questions and doubts have been removed for good, then I feel better about this season. But I dare you to prove it because you can't.
No.
PCA, as good as he has looked, he has not arrived yet. He's still full of potential and it outweighs the production. Matt Shaw.
This could be the year for him.
I agree. But it hasn't happened yet, Molly.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I'm saying I feel like he's on a path. I feel like he improved a lot toward the end of last year. And again, if he can just, all you got to do is get on base.
I agree.
And wreak havoc.
Of the four guys that I mentioned, I feel best about him.
Yes.
And then maybe Michael Bush.
Yes.
And then probably Shaw, but I think that's a lot of hope and prayer as much as it is evidence.
There's nothing there to base that on. I mean, I get it, every level hitting and but I wish he had a more conventional batting stance.
I wish he had a more promising spring.
I know that sounds crazy.
Spring was full of question marks. Health.
Yes.
And then they bring him up too fast. And then the catching situation with Miguel Amaya and Carson Kelly, I suppose it's an improvement, but I still have questions about can Amaya be the catcher that he was in the second half of last season and carry that over into this year. So there are way too many.
There's a lot of things you can do away, no question. And you know, I think their pitching rotation is good enough, but what if they had one more? Wouldn't that be great? Like, I just feel like there are elements of their team that I would like to make an improvement on, but that's the best they could do.
I feel better about the bullpen than I did a year ago, but a year ago at this time we felt pretty good about the bullpen.
But the bullpen really has to be the answer. They have to have answered that question, and bullpens are bizarre. They go from year to year, and if you capture magic in a bullpen, and it just feels like it's not sustainable, but it just kind of flits and floats from team to team, if you can capture that, then you're going to have a hell of a year.
312-644-6767. What worries you about the Cubs or the White Sox? I think everything about the White Sox might concern you a little bit.
What doesn't worry you about the White Sox?
That might be a better question.
Be stronger. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Honestly, I was speechless. It's just such a huge honor. Looking back at the people that have, taken the ball opening day for the White Sox, just to have my name added to that list is an honor, and I'm, going to give it all I have.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670, the Score. That is the ace. Is he an ace? That is the man himself, the first day of the opener that, we thought a year ago that Garrett Crochet was kind of a strange guy to be opening.
Well, and Sean Burke fits the profile. Sean Burke is even more of an obscure choice than Garrett Crochet was.
Agreed.
Garrett Crochet was a first-round draft pick of the White Sox who had shown and flashed potential early on. We all remember how quickly he ascended to the major league team. He was all and he remains amazingly talented.
Yeah.
Sean Burke is somewhat of a revelation.
I picked the guy to win the Cy Young, David. I think he can strike everybody out.
Yeah.
I think he's a hell of a... And any Sox pitcher that goes to the Red Sox wins the Cy Young. Have we not learned that?
Well, I think he's a trendy choice, and he makes a lot of makes a lot of sense to pick him. We all pick the Red Sox because Garrett Crochet is there. Sean Burke probably won't be an all-star, but you never know. He is on a short list of major league pitchers to start an opening day having made three or fewer starts. Get this list. Garrett Crochet is on it.
Oh.
Garrett Crochet.
Yeah, makes sense.
Tanner Shepherds.
Oh.
David Need. Al Holland.
Oh boy.
And Fernando Valenzuela.
Oh, I like that one anyway. If he can follow that.
When you're one of six of anything, you're in a select list of people.
Congratulations, sir. You made it.
What are your reasonable expectations for Sean Burke today? Against the Angels lineup, which will include Dustin's guy, Mike Trout, after he gets a Subway. And he comes to the park and he gets in the lineup.
Well, I think we've learned Trout's a bum. He's moved from center field to right. That means he's finished. No, I mean, look, I don't have high hopes for him. I'll be honest with you. I think that he could, let's say he has the Shota performance. Four innings, holds the tip. That's as much as I hope for. Four scoreless innings would be a victory
you
in
take
my
it.
World.
Oh, my gosh.
I take it,
if you
and I would
four
run like
scoreless
a thief in the night.
From Sean Burke?
Imagine a thief running through the night.
Think about what we just said there. Four innings of scoreless baseball from your opening day starter, and you would be giddy.
I would feel delight. I would feel like I got away with one. Now, the problem is...
Times have changed, my friend.
Things, there are still nine innings to a game. So it's not like you can depend on him... Who's finishing up? There's the rub.
There is the rub because we went through the bullpen earlier in the program. Dustin could not name more than one pitcher who belongs to that bullpen.
Yep.
And that was the closer, Mike Clevinger.
He's just become a closer because they don't really need one.
Well, if you have Sean Burke on the mound, he pitches four scoreless and you have a 3-0 lead in the fifth inning, who do you go to? Do you go to your closer?
Hey, we have a lot of our favorite listeners want to check in. Let's get to the phone lines. We'll start with Kevin. Kevin's in Palatine. Hey, Kevin. Wouldn't be opening day without you.
Hey, happy opening day. So I wanted to spray to a few fields here. David, you made a comment yesterday that if Cam Smith was still on the Cubs, he wouldn't be on the opening day roster. You
True.
Are 100% right because this fear-addicted front office and ownership, there's no way they would do this. But I do have a... Two comments. So looking through the major league revenue from last year, even though Tom Ricketts acts like he owns the Athletics, he actually owns the Cubs, who made $506 million last year, only behind the Yankees and Dodgers. But we spent this off season. We couldn't get Bregman. We gave him a horrific offer. We haven't offered anything to Tucker yet. So first of all, super disappointed in Tom, and he needs to realize he owns the Athletics and the billion. He doesn't own the Athletics and the billions that he spent in the neighborhood doesn't count for payroll. That was his decision to do that. Those are two different pocketbooks. Secondly, Jed Hoyer yesterday, every Cubs fan should be terrified of what he said. He let the cat out of the bag. John Greenberg even called him on it because he made the exact same quote of the year before. Oh, if everyone plays to the back of their card, we need a bunch of people to overachieve, then we should be pretty good. Why don't we have players that are good enough that if they just play to their average, we win 90 games? He did not build a 90-win roster. And the last thing I'm going to say is I think we got fleeced for the second year in a row because we got a used-up Astros closer. I think Ryan Pressly is going to be brutal, and I think we're I think we might win this crap division, but we're not going to compete. But Tom needs to realize you do not own the A's. You own the Cubs. Thanks, guys.
Kevin, happy opening day.
Thanks, Kevin.
It's kind of negative. No offense.
It's a little negative. I don't typically go negative an opening day, and I don't want to.
But
the concerns about Ryan Pressly,
third straight game,
well, because it's not really opening day for the Cubs.
Right.
It's not. It's the third game.
Yes.
So it's just the reopening day for the Cubs. My concerns about Ryan Pressly are shared by Kevin, or Kevin's concerns are shared by me. And I think that Ryan Pressly is somebody, for the second year in a row, I wonder if the Cubs plucked a reliever off the Astros whose best days are behind him. I worry about that.
Yeah, of course. That's a valid concern.
Heart attack Hector gave people indigestion.
Yeah, that didn't
and
work
the last
that wasn't
time good.
They tried it. Yeah, that's fair. We can't squeeze anyone
We can
in.
When we get back, though.
Yeah, we'll be back, and we'll get right to your phone calls. We have some great Sox fans that are fed up with the White Sox. I my advice is give it a series. You don't have to give it two series.
Wow.
But listen,
you were deep well of patience there.
You know, I'm not going negative. I'm not like the kind of guy that would ever go negative.
No.
I'm waiting.
What are you wearing today?
I've got some Flag and Anthem.
Oh, that's
gear.
Good. Flag and Anthem.
Mitch
good.
Gave me a.
I have Flag and Anthem. You have BetQL.
And
it's a good thing you have a pullover
thank you,
on.
Thank you, Mitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. BetQL, I think, is it BetMGM now? I got an MGM.
BetMGM, yeah. I have Flag and Anthem on.
Yeah, okay, I knew one of us did. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.